ties to the football game and red fedora hats. They didn't wear little hats with double T's, you know, gimme hats. They dressed up to go to the ball game. They stood when the school that we were playing played their school song. They brought their band. They stood there with their hat over their heart in respect to the other school's alma mater. They never booed when the other team came onto the field. They certainly didn't change the school fight song words. And so it's with great... I don't even know a word to use. I just sit there and I watch the behavior of the students and a lot of older fans. I'm going to admit, you know, and I watch them today, and especially when we play an arch rival like A&M, and I just shake my head and say, I guess I just don't understand it. Why is that acceptable behavior? Why do we feel that's acceptable behavior? Well, I'm asking a sociologist today. Texas Tech professor Dr. Jerry Cook joins us on the hotline. I guess I just don't get it. Kids today, Dr. Cook, they wear their feelings and their emotions on their sleeves and they tattoo their arms. You know, it's a different generation and they march to a whole different drummer.
Well, I think that's right, Jeff. I think there's an immediacy to interaction that's available to us now that, you know, certainly wasn't in the days of which you were speaking. And, you know, in some sense, civility has gone out the window with it. I mean, we see it in the political arena. Politicians didn't talk to or about each other 40 or 50 years ago in the same way that they do now. And we didn't have access then to all the different forms of communication. And I think, you know, for example, I get emails that would otherwise be business letters that read like text messages now, because that's the forum in which students and many others are used to communicating these days.
Kids that I talk to, and I want to sit there and say, you know, why do you disgrace the school song by singing the alternative version? And they just look at me like, you know, I'm like I stepped off this planet from outer space or something. They just have a whole different perspective on life, and I just wonder how much of this is fueled by a crowd, not a mob mentality, but you know, they have so much control of the east side of the stadium, and let's admit it, Dr. Cook, these kids are coming in and they've had plenty to drink, because tailgating is now the way you enjoy life before you go to a football game, and that has changed everything as well.
Well, yeah, I think so. My brother-in-law is a retired police officer, and he used to call alcohol liquid stupidity, and I think that that's a pretty apt description. But, you know, in a group setting, individuals will do things to or in the company of other people that they'd never do just one-on-one. And, you know, it being in the company of a lot of other people that are doing the same, even if they're doing the same stupid thing, sort of legitimates it.
Okay, so now my question to you is, how do you change this? Or is this just whistling down a dark highway and that light that you see is the train going to hit you? Because it's not going to change. I can't see how these letters that I read to the editor today who are saying Texas Tech needs to do something about this, the chancellor needs to do something, the president needs to do something, the student body president needs to do something about this. How do you do something about 14,000, 15,000 people who are doing this and feel it's okay? You're not, you know, you can't put enough cops in the stand and start dragging people out for booing.
Well, no, and I don't think that that's the approach. I think what leaders at the university can do is, in effect, lead by example, not just with regard to football games, but all manners of things. I think civil conversation sometimes gives way to angry rhetoric in lots of other ways. One of the things that I've always enjoyed, and I'm a longtime supporter of Tech athletics, I've had season football tickets for years and years, we go to baseball games. The Tech hecklers are a good example of, I think, how you can have the kind of fun that goes with a rivalry, but set limits on it. I mean, Chris Snead has even written this up pretty directly, you know, no profanity, don't talk about somebody's mother, and be funny. You know, and a lot of what went on at the game and what, you know, has been going on perhaps, you know, even more stridently over the years just isn't funny anymore. Now, what can anybody do? Putting police in the stands or having pleas and so on from the chancellor and other leadership, I don't think is as effective as simply doing in everything you do what creates a more civil and socially polite context for everything that's done at the university.
Okay, can we lay some of this blame on the prior football regime, the Leach regime, which had kind of that pirate mentality, and everybody just said, kind of fell in love with it and said, okay, let's just kind of act like pirates. Is that a part of this?
I would be reluctant to do that. I think that the leadership of the football program under Mike Leach, I think, used a lot of what I think the hecklers would embrace, and that is a lot of good-humored fun in terms of establishing an identity and even using that identity in the context of a rivalry.
Okay, now let me ask the $10 million question. Is Texas Tech any worse than any place else?
Well, that's a really good question. I was, you were talking about the alma mater a little while ago, and my football seats are on the other side of the stadium, and I missed hearing the spirit of Aggieland. It's a stirring song, and I like it, and the band is very gifted in terms of its talent. On the other hand, I have students in our band that have been in my classes over the years, and they're a great band. They're immensely talented, and I enjoy hearing them. They tell me that a trip to Kyle Field is as bad or worse than anything that the Aggies experience here.
Absolutely, and because I did attend a Tech A&M game in College Station, we were playing our school song, and they were screaming too. So it's just bad behavior everywhere. For those of you who think it only happens in Jones AT&T Stadium, you're going to have to wake up and smell the roses, because maybe Nebraska is about the only place where they still have some civility left.
Well, I don't know. You'd like to think that the two wrongs don't make a right, and that escalating it is not the way to go. But I think all of this fits into a much broader context of a society where our friends now are electronic. 6,000 or 7,000 people on Facebook of my closest intimate confidants. That's different than being in a relationship and having to look people face to face and in the eye when you have something about them that you like or would like to support, or against which you'd like to perpetuate a rivalry.
Well, very interesting conversation, Dr. Cook, and I promise I won't boo you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
And I'm with you because my dad was an Aggie, and so I always like to hear the spirit of Aggie land as well. Just one of those deals where, I have an admiration for the traditions of that school, and I don't think that, we should be putting shoe polish on their buses, and I don't think we should be booing their players as they come onto the stand on the field. And I should think we should let them play their school song with some respect.
Well, I agree, and I think all of us, by and large, want the same thing when we go into a football game. We want to have a lot of fun. We want to enjoy the good and the skills that are being portrayed, and I'd like to think we'd like to enjoy and appreciate even the band shows.
And I guess that's the difference, because to them, that's having fun.
I guess.
Dr. Cook, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Enjoyed visiting with you. Take care.
You bet.
All right. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I'm going to talk to Alex Lake, president of Saddle Traps. Those are the guys that ring the bells. I'm going to have a big bell to cover up the booing going on.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million.